please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Never better get checked. Ain't no different second when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check. Fuck around and get wet.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I am so happy and pleased to be here and given the opportunity to share my thoughts and opinions with you and also have you do the same with me. It's important that we're always here and prepared and ready to make sure that people understand what it is that we have come to believe and what direction we want our country to go in. So we want to make sure that people understand that we're not going to stand idly by and watch the world pass us by without having some commitment or obligation to be willing and able to direct our country in the direction that we individually would like it to go. It's important for us to be prepared and able to make sure the world fully understands that we are not on the sidelines, that we plan to be a major part of what goes on in our society. And that is what this platform is for. It's for us to make sure that people recognize and understand that we're going to make sure we got something to say and say it loudly and clearly enough that others will have no excuse but to follow our directions or understand our position. We're going to take some time and take a short break and give everybody an opportunity to get online so we can have our discussion for today.
Hello, I'm the music major. This is my man, Jayon Gray. He got a question to ask.
Shay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. How are you doing this evening, Regina?
I'm doing well.
Did you get your numbers for the show tonight?
I did.
All right. So
I
you're fully
that.
Aware and updated and ready. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do every day. You'll get your numbers, so you'll be prepared and ready to see if your lifestyle will go up anyway.
You know what? It's gonna go up anyway because I claimed it's gonna go up. Regardless
all
of
right,
what
all right. I hear what you're saying.
It's going up. Yeah.
So did you have a good day today?
I did. In fact, I'm on my way to a CEU, a class that commissioners have to take annually. So I'm on my way there, and I'm running a little late there because I just left the hibachi restaurant, Niyabi, with my coworkers from school. So... And I don't know if you knew, but my mom's in the hospital. She was admitted yesterday, and things were going okay there.
Good.
And I just, you know, I've learned that it is amazing the amount of medical knowledge and insurance knowledge that families need to have. Especially when they're working with their older family members. And it's just amazing that so much needs to be known. So we're learning.
Yeah, it is. You have to be on top of things. And they tell me you need to make sure that the nurses and the doctors know that you're very committed to seeing your family through, because sometimes those people who don't have people really paying attention get the short end of the stick. So it's real important for them to know that your family members are loved and you're going to be participating in the medical process.
You're right. They were very surprised because I'd been there 5 yesterday morning and finally got her in a room and settled, and I left about 8, called back and she had an allergic reaction to something. And that's all I needed to hear was all those people in her room. And I was back at that hospital until 1:30 this morning. So, you know, told them anything, you are to contact us. So they know. But,
well,
but
you
what
know,
about
one of the things I want to... Go ahead.
So I was just saying, what about other seniors who, you know?
Yeah, it's important that we realize that a lot of deaths happen in hospitals because people aren't paying attention. And we have to keep them on their toes when it comes to our loved ones to make sure that our loved ones are given the proper care and attention that they deserve. I mean, medical people are under a lot of pressure, but we want them to pay specific attention to what they're doing related to the ones that we love. So we have to be there watching and paying attention and recognizing when things don't seem to be looking right.
When I get there tonight at 9 o'clock, I want to see the chart. I'm going to see if the floor is clear. Because I've noticed, and you know, I hope the listeners pay attention also, that the rooms are sort of dirty. They just have things laying around on the floor, paper that they've taken off of, syringes and stuff. And, that carries germs. And I've heard that a lot of times when people get sick in hospitals, it's because of staph infections and different germs.
I've heard that as well.
Yeah. So we just all have to be
mindful.
You
know, what I wanted to talk about tonight has a little to do with what you're talking about, what we're discussing. You know, people have to learn to love themselves and love the life that they're living, and don't go making mistakes that are going to be critical in their existence. And I got a few questions that I need to ask people, because we need to do some research. I know you like doing research, and you talk about research all the time, but we need to do some research, because something came to my mind that I was unclear of. You know that Cardell Hayes has been convicted of manslaughter in the case of Will Smith, the ex-New Orleans football player. And he was found guilty of manslaughter, and he was also charged with attempted manslaughter of Mr. Will Smith's wife, who got shot in the leg during the situation in New Orleans. And now here's a man who obviously was living a decent life. You know, he was driving a Hummer, and he had a son. I don't know if he was married. I didn't see that. But both of those charges were not unanimous. And so it's interesting to me that he got convicted. And so what I want to find out, if in Texas, can you be convicted, or how much does it take you to be convicted? Because it wasn't a unanimous jury, and so maybe they don't have to have a unanimous jury for a conviction. And I'd like to find that out. So if anybody can let me know, that's kind of strange. I sent the link, and when I was reading the information about the link that I sent you guys, it suggested that there wasn't a unanimous decision, but he was found guilty, and he can serve up to, I think, 40 years. And, you know, this is because you don't use your common sense when driving and you have a small accident, or, you know, a bump, a fender bender, and you turn it into a life sentence. And so now this man has lost his freedom and has to spend a large portion of his life locked up behind bars. And you got Will Smith's family, his wife, and his children, who won't have, you know, have access to their father again. And so we talk a lot about these kind of things, and there are a lot of aspects of this crime. You know, we don't have any videotape. We have several different witnesses. Mr. Cardell Hayes suggested that Will Smith struck him, but none of the other witnesses saw that or shared that with the police officers. While he was in the stands, he suggested that he thought Will Smith was going to get a gun, and that he heard a pop. But they said that no bullet was fired from Will Smith's gun, and there was nothing to suggest that he went to his vehicle to get a gun. And so, you know, it's just sad. And the reason why I think it's important for us to continue to talk about these things, you may be able to legally have a gun, but is it in your best interest to carry one if you're not mentally able or capable of making the right choices when it comes to having a weapon in your possession? And this is clearly one of those cases where, had Mr. Hayes left his weapon at home, he could have went on with his life, repaired his truck, and went on with his life. And so he very well may never even drive that that truck again, that he felt so violated related to it being hit and struck. How are you doing today, Kathy? Glad to have you on the line with us. And we're talking about Mr. Hayes being found guilty of manslaughter and attempted manslaughter on Mr. Will Smith's wife. Did you get a chance to read over the link that I sent you?
I'm sorry, James. No, I was not able to look at it. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. No problem. We know things happen. And that's why I sent it out for the week, so in case you get an opportunity. But, again, we have two families, Kathy, who are literally being destroyed. A little boy won't be able to see his father again, possibly outside of jail. And then we have an ex-football player whose wife was shot and whose children won't see their father again just because of a fender bender. And, you know, when will enough be enough with all this senseless violence where people get upset about material things? You know, what happened to, you know, as long as we're alive, it doesn't matter. You can always get more stuff, but you can never get another life. You know, what happened to that sentiment, Kathy?
You know what, James? I still have mine. I don't know about anybody else. And, you know, the people are going through a depression. People are worried, scared. I mean, all kind of things are going through these people's mind when they commit these acts. You know, once they get in jail and they begin to talk to them about it, you know, they had all kind of other things going on. So sometimes that's the reason why people say that they do that kind of thing. But, you know, we have to stop and just think about what we're doing before we do it. That's what we need to do. Because if not, there are going to be a lot of more people missing loved ones. There are going to be a lot of more people because of a fender bender being handcuffed, put in jail because they were not able to control their temper. It's about controlling who you are. You have to think before you react. You have to think before you react. If not, you're going to say what the first thing that comes out of your mind. What does the Bible say? There's life and death in the power of the tongue. So you can either kill a person or you can give a person life with that tongue. It is very, very dangerous.
And, you know, people have to start understanding. You have to learn to value your life, value your existence. Our lives may not be perfect, but I wake up every day looking forward to living another life, living my life, and increasing my value by the things that I do. And I enjoy life. I mean, today I spent my day at home. I had to make a lot of phone calls related to doing some additional repairs to my house. But I enjoyed my little lunch I had. I enjoyed my day. I interacted with a few people who were doing work at my house. And I had a good day. And I just wouldn't want that part of my life disrupted because I started carrying a concealed gun permit and then at some point got so hostile or upset that I took the gun out of my car and shot somebody. And here this man shot this ex-football player 7 to 8 times. I mean, he was committed to doing the violence that he sought to do, and now his life has to be changed as a result of it, along with his family and along with Mr. Will Smith's family. Regina, let me ask you, you know, what happens to material things not having so much value that we're willing to get so upset and angry when somebody bumps our car? And, you know, what is it that keeps people from understanding and appreciating, you know, the people in their lives and the ones they love and not wanting to give up their freedom?
That is a very interesting question. I don't know. You know, I'm like you, and you know, I always admire the way you can can bring things to the forefront, and just as some people say, take the gravy off the rice. You know, why would you risk giving up your life, even to the point of giving up eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich whenever you want to, as opposed to getting jail time and having to be under the direction of somebody else? And I don't know. I mean, heaven knows, once you said it the way you said it tonight, that really opened my eyes. So I don't know why
you
they
know,
would
one,
do that.
One of the things that I learned, and I would never forget, when I was about 14 or 15, and one of my friend's father caught us putting a lock on the end of a chain and putting these chains in our pockets, and we were getting ready to walk around the neighborhood. And he stopped us and he said, "Why are you putting those chains in your pocket?" He said, "Oh, just in case, you know, we need them." And he said, "First and foremost, take them out of your pocket." And he said, "When you prepare for a fight, you're looking for a fight." And so it's just my thought is, you know, I know the world is a dangerous place, but most of us get up and leave our homes, go to work, go to the store, whatever we're going to do, whatever errands we have to run, and we do it without carrying a weapon. And so if you're so bent and it's so important for you to carry a weapon everywhere you go, you might need to ask yourself, are you looking for a fight? Kathy?
Yes.
You know, what do you think about these people who, you know, they get in their cars and their vehicles and they always got to carry these guns? Seems like they're looking for trouble, don't you think?
No, not really, Janice, because a lot of people have been issued those weapons for reasons. Some maybe because they're in law enforcement, and some just because in their particular state, you know, some people want to carry them. So I don't think just because they carry a weapon that they are looking for trouble, but I know that sometimes trouble can find trouble. You know, so again, thinking back to that call that we had when it first came out, you know, why would you get, I mean, if you're in a back and forth with someone on the freeway or on the street, why would you pull over, have that person pull over, and why would you get out of your car, you know, knowing how people are, knowing how things have been happening, you know, in this world, around the country, in different states, in the same manner. You know, I wouldn't even got out of my car, let alone, you know, go back and forth with the person. Anytime I believe that I've done somebody wrong and they pull up on the side and throw their finger or whatever, I just say, forgive me. I put my hands together and say, forgive me, you know, because I don't have time for that. I have a family to go home to. I have things that I need to do before I leave this world. So, you know, I can't really agree with that. But, you know, some people may think that is trouble when you ride around with a gun, but I don't think so. I don't have one, but I don't think so.
Well, you know, one of the things you said that makes sense to me, and I'm not sure why Will Smith, having a wife, having his wife in his car, thought it was important for him to get out and go get into a back and forth with this guy. You know, I think you're right. I think the better thing would have been to do was continue to drive till he got to a place that was a more safer place for him to be, or if he saw a police officer or someone, to let them know what was taking place. But you can never put yourself of your family in jeopardy in terms of road rage. Road rage has become a real thing. And again, here you have two men, one who is now deceased and another will not get a chance to be with his family again because he has now been convicted of a homicide in terms of killing Will Smith during a road rage incident. And so we have to be mindful that people use this platform in order to change people's mindset related to their lives. You're not just going to walk away from these shootings as though nothing has happened. When you kill somebody, you can look for people to try to make a determination. And I'm just saying, you can wreck, you can bump my car if you want to, but that's not going to be making me angry enough to take my life, put my life in jeopardy, or have a situation where I might end up in jail. Welcome to the show, Audre and Joyce. We're talking about the guilty, the fact that Cardale Hayes was found guilty for manslaughter and attempted manslaughter on Mr. Smith's wife. And so now he's looking at 30 to 40 years in jail as a result of a fender bender. RJ, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, shouldn't people value their lives and their existence more than getting in these senseless violence?
Sorry, I'm not aware of the story. I just caught the last part of Kathy talking about, you know, I think the question may have been, is a person that carries a weapon in a vehicle, are they looking for trouble? And I'm not sure if you mentioned that Will Smith made the decision to pull over and have an encounter with a person. And, you know, why would they do that? I think part of it is, and I can't speak for him, but I think part of it would be, you know, we get tired of just taking so much. And I'm not saying it was the right thing to do, but I think sometimes that's what happens with scenarios. Instead of doing like Kathy and just asking for forgiveness and being, you know, above the situation, everyone has their limit, and you don't know what other items are going on in any given day. We all are faced with choices, and sometimes we let the pressures of so many things coming at us at one time cause us not to make a decision by thinking it through. So I can't really respond to it. I'm not familiar with the story. I'm sorry.
Well, just so I give you some background, Will Smith was a former New Orleans Saints football player. He spent his whole career with the New Orleans Saints. He and his wife were coming back home from dinner, and he accidentally bumped a Hummer. And after accidentally bumping the Hummer, he drove around and continued. The gentleman in the Hummer then intentionally ran into the back of him, and they went further down and got out of their vehicle. After getting out of his vehicle and them exchanging words, Mr. Hayes shot the ex-NFL football player 7 times in the back. And actually, one of the bullets went into the vehicle and hit Will Smith's wife. So she had a leg wound. And so now he's dead, deceased. She's been shot. Mr. Hayes suggested that Will Smith hit him several times and then returned to his car, but none of the witnesses gave that account. And so, again, he's been found guilty. He has a young son who is now no longer has a father. His father was murdered a number of years before then by the New Orleans police. And so, you know, he maybe have a history of thinking that there's a need to carry a weapon, but now he and his father have had similar fates where they've had run-in with the police and found themselves on the short end of the stick. At some point, we have to decide that, you know, the answer to a situation is not to escalate the situation. And so certainly he's escalated it. Now a man is dead, and he is no longer has his freedom. Joyce, I welcome you to the show. And I just want to know and talk about how do we change the mindset of people to recognize that you may save your life and destroy it at the same time. Because now no matter what it was, what he had, you know, obviously he had a decent standard of living, but all that's been taken away. Joyce, you know, how do you convince people that we need to not subscribe to violence as a means of handling problems and issues?
Right. To me, I think when a person chooses to do things in a violent way, they feel it makes them think that they have no other control and have to get attention. But I have to go to some sermon that I've heard on Joe Olson where, you know, everybody's so quick tempered, but we have to stop and think. And if that means counting to 10 to before you react, we have to do that. We have to start channeling our stuff to don't react so hastily. Everybody is so short circuit nowadays. I've been in a situation when I used to drive, whereas, you know, if you know, a person thinks that they cut you off, they'll try to speed up. So what I tend to do, I just look forward. You know, I know they're giving me all kinds of hand signals and the whole bit, you know, when you're looking out on the side of your eye. But I just keep looking forward because I don't want to escalate the situation. But some people that are behind the wheel, they go stone crazy when it's just I don't know. Everybody's up in a hurry to do things. They're not thinking before they react. We got to stop and have more composure. I don't know. There's no quick fix for it. I don't know what the answer or what the solution is. But the only thing that I can say that what was said on that one sermon that we're moving in so fast and going, you know, without thinking that we need to just stop and before we react, at least try to count to 10.
And there's more to life to winning a fight. I mean, this guy won a fight, but he lost his life. I mean, you have to understand that when you take that weapon out and you use it, and there's going to be consequences. In his testimony, he said that he didn't remember shooting the gun 7 times. Well, it doesn't matter whether you remember it or not. You took that weapon out, and you had to pull on that trigger, and now there's a dead man, and your life has to change. At least you will be continue to be eating, continue to be talking and having a conversation. But Mr. Smith's life has ended because you interjected that gun. And I just want to go on record as saying, if you love your life, you love your existence so much that you want to protect it by carrying a gun, then you need to think about and value what it is about your life that you enjoy, and your freedom should be a part of that. And there are a lot of people who are losing their freedom because they are just so prepared to exact vengeance on people outside of themselves. Kathy?
Yes.
You know, what do you, and in some cases, don't you think these are people who, you said that, well, maybe they're not looking for trouble, but it seems to be happening so much, and people get mad because you cut them off, that they're just prepared and ready to explode at a minute's notice.
Well, it's like you said, the gentleman said, he said that he didn't know he shot the gun that many times. I think that once a person is in a rage of any kind, they're liable to do anything. It's like a, what do you call it? It's like when you get on a ride at the amusement park, and you go up, and then when you go down. So when they're going up, they're feeling some kind of way until that thing is over, and then they come down. They don't know what they've done in that process. So this person doesn't even realize what the damage that he has done. And you said something about his son as well. So that lets you know that they need some kind of psychological help in that family. And there's a little bit more problem to the story.
Yeah, his father, several years before, was killed by the New Orleans police. I'm not sure of what took place for him to be caught up in that. Andre, what are your thoughts? I know adrenaline gets going, and men have a tendency to let their testosterone get up and they get a dandruff. But shouldn't they be thinking about their life beyond just that moment?
You would think so, but again, I think being in a situation, again, it's not that anyone, I don't think anyone would purposely take those actions. And I, now that you tell me the story, I think this gentleman is defending himself or defended himself. And again, his response was that, you know, he wasn't intentionally trying to kill him and that type of thing. But I think in the heat of the moment, like you said, adrenaline is rolling so high and you're in a rage. And at that point, when you're in a rage, you're no longer in control of yourself. So you're no longer able to control your thoughts, control your behavior. And that's part of the reason why he don't even remember what all happened. I mean, he started pulling and it just, at any given time, any of us can lose control. It just depends on what our trigger is. In most cases, we, on this phone, it sounds like we are able to control ours as well as the average person, or probably above average. But, again, when you're in that heat of the moment, you're not going to take time to think to count to 10. Your point of it is you're so frustrated and all. You want your voice to be heard. You want your opinion to be what it is. You want whatever the action is to be. And you'll do anything possible to make that happen. And that's where we find ourselves hearing about so many stories like these.
But the issue becomes, and I want to ask you this question, Joyce, if you know yourself and you know that maybe a gun is not the weapon you need to carry because you can't control your ability to make a rash decision, and you act, you know, if you get heated too quickly, it might not be in your interest to have a concealed weapons permit. Or if your lifestyle is such that you're always around people who you feel uncomfortable with, or you feel that your life might be in danger, well, maybe you need to change your lifestyle. Maybe those are the options you should take versus carrying a weapon and being prepared to use it at a moment's notice.
That's true. If a person is willing to make those fundamental changes, you die the life you live. So if you're gonna live that type of lifestyle and being in that type of environment, you know what I mean, you're doomed. The second thing about it is that I'm assuming that when that guy got out of the car to confront, he had no idea that his life would be ended. Possibly that, they, you know, it's the argument, then they say the words and they go on by their way. But from what it sounds like, for him not to remember, they call that a temporary insanity. He was so up in a rage that he had no idea about what it is that he did. That's really telling. And you're right. A person like that should not be carrying a weapon. But nowadays, with this new weapon law that people, they can carry, you know, everybody want to pack in the whole bit. It's crazy. Here in Arizona, they pack, and they show you that they pack them because they can put everything on their hips. It's scary going into a bars and any place now, even in grocery stores and Walmart. The others here in Arizona, they had shooting. People thought it was a firecracker, and everybody ran to the back of the store. So, you know, it's just crazy. Everybody's short-circuiting, and I don't know whether or not they feel like they're so powerful to take it, but I don't think that they're thinking about the consequences on the other end once they do pull that trigger. You know, when you pull that trigger, there's a consequence that you got to live up to. You know, something has got to happen. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Right, and your life is going to change drastically. Mr. Hayes's life is going to change drastically. And he may well have rethought whether or not he should have did what he did, but now he doesn't have that option. And so here we have two African-American men who were, one who was just out to dinner with his wife and some friends and who won't return home. And another one, I'm not sure why he was out and about, but he was with a friend as well. And now he shot a man in the back 7 times, and now his life is forever altered. And when you put your life in the hands of 12 people, you don't know what their decision is going to be. So what's important is that you make the right decision so that your hand is not put in the hands of 12 people who may not see the situation the way you did. And in this case, these 12 individuals didn't see it the way Mr. Hayes saw it, and so therefore now he has to go to jail for 20 to 30 or 40 years because he's been convicted of 2 major felonies. And we just have to talk to our kids, too.
When you shoot somebody in the back, when you shoot someone in the back, aren't you automatically guilty? Because it sounds like to me that if he shot him in the back 7 times, that means that the football player was walking away. He was en route back to his car in order for somebody to even shoot him in the back 7 times. That let me know that you was a coward to even pull in to shoot somebody while they're walking away.
Well, he tried to suggest that Mr. Smith informed him he was going back to the car to get his gun. But again, none of the witnesses who saw the incident saw it the same way he saw it. And, yeah, you're right. I think that he was unable to control his temper. If he was afraid that he was going back to get his gun, he decided he was going to shoot first instead of allow Mr. Smith to have the opportunity to retrieve his gun. So either way, you don't change the way your life will be lived, and deservedly so, because this man is dead, and you shot his wife. His wife didn't have anything to do with it. She was in the car. So, again, because of your actions, an innocent bystander was shot. So your life has to change. You can't think that, oh, okay, it's okay for me to walk away from this. And both of them have children. Mr. Hayes has a son who, again, won't be able to see his father for a very long, long time. And Mrs. Smith's children won't have the comfort of having their father at home with them either. But we need to, you know, this road rage thing seems to just be getting out of hand. Like, Joyce, you say, you know, you cut somebody off, and they want to take it personal, like you did it on purpose. And I'm sure none of us purposely try to create a dangerous situation. Cassie, what kind of things Joyce just said? She keeps her head forward and she doesn't engage the people. What are some of the things that you do if you find yourself in a situation where people are mouthing off or you may have accidentally cut somebody off?
Again, James, I just make eye contact, and I bow my head like, forgive me, I apologize, smile, turn around, and keep on going.
And I like I like what you said. You said you got a family to go home to, and the rest of that stuff is not important. And that's what people should be thinking about. They got a family to go home to. They like their lives, their existence. And they don't want it altered by doing something silly.
Right. That's it. All that stuff is irrelevant, you know, and even in the grocery store, you know, now that the this is a Christmas season, people are in a rush trying to get in and out of the stores. It's a lot of that going on the streets and in the stores. So we have to be careful. We have to be extra careful now because people are so anxious and trying to get the last toy or the last gift or don't have enough money. They're trying to figure out how they're going to do it, you know. So we have to be careful and we have to think about, you know, what's going on. We really do.
And people are so short-tempered and angry. And Joyce, I mean, I could not imagine being in your situation. Here in Florida, you have a concealed weapons permit, and your weapon has to always be concealed. But having an open carry, being in an open carry state, I just couldn't imagine how you could comfortably go to dinner when you might have three or four people surrounding you who have weapons on their hip. That would be disheartening in terms of going out to dinner or living in a way where you're not always on guard.
Well, you know, what it is a law where if you carry a weapon, which is on the flip side of that, that's kind of good too because you know who's carrying it. If you carry if you have a weapon and you're carrying a weapon, it has to be visible. That's the law. So, you know,
wow.
They call it Wild Wild West. I mean, that's what it is too. You got cowboys out here, so that's what it's all about. The weapon has to be visible. So, you know, it tells you how to walk when you go out, tell you how to maneuver. So, like, if I see some, you know, you're trying to get in on the freeway and the whole bit, and all of a sudden a person going to give you the finger and think that you cut them off in the whole bit, I just keep my face straight forward and just ease straight. And, like, I ain't seeing nothing. I just keep looking ahead. And then you hopefully that they cool their ass off and they keep going.
Yeah.
You know.
Who
got time to look at them?
Cause
they're gonna
give
me
your name and where you call. 9454. Give me your name and where you're calling from. All right, we're going to. Joyce, you had a few more words you were going to say. What were you saying?
Oh, that's okay. I moved on. But it's just how people react, you know, and everything. You know, it's just you try to control the situation as much as you can, but I dare get out of my car, you know. No way. I've seen a driver get out of his car and hit on another car, on another car. I've seen that at a stop sign. It's, you know, everybody's just in it. It's just crazy. It's scary, really. You know, it's just. But you got to be more on guard. And my thing is, don't confuse it. Stay in your car and just, you know, do what you got to do to get out of that situation. Well, you heard about that killing here in Arizona where the lady, she indicated that it was several Mexican in a truck, in a white truck. They kept calling her and the whole bit. And she was on the call to the 411 operator and everything on the freeway. And all these phone calls came into 911 about these people, and what they did was they shot her. They killed her. She was a black lady. They haven't found her.
Wow.
They have raised the money up to $100,000. But they say if any time you on a situation like that, get off the freeway and try to do streets where you keep making turns until they can find you and get some help. But they cornered her on the side of the fast lane on the where you carpool lane, and they shot her and they took off, and they haven't found her, and I'm assuming that they did the first exit off. But she was begging for her life and wanted to know what to do and everything, and that was a road rage. But they had followed her for a long distance. So, you know, sometimes people be in such rage, they are determined to win, and that's their way of doing it, I guess. It's scary.
Yeah, it's just disheartening that people would take your life for a fender bender or accident that just might have happened. It's just terrible. Okay, well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and have our final word. James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I want to just share with all of you that I would like for you to have the opportunity to purchase both the books that I have written. And you can get those books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation, both at lulu.com, lulu.com. And I would like for you to make that a part of your library this upcoming Christmas so that we can get together and talk about which of my poems you think are the best. So those are the two books I would love for you to purchase. We're going to go back to Kathy. And Kathy, what is your final words for today? What would you like our audience to know, and what would you like to share with them that's on your mind this evening?
Well, James, I have both of your books, so I'm waiting for the challenge to go through the book and take a page and see what it is that we're going to talk about. And also, I wanted to know, since I wasn't on yesterday, did you give a book away?
Okay, I did not, but I tell you what, I promise I'll do both of those things this upcoming Sunday on our short day. I'll recite one of my poems, and we'll discuss what it means. So we'll leave that for Sunday as well as give away one of my books. I'll do that. You were not here yesterday to remind me, but I will make that an effort for us to do on Sunday.
What happened on Saturday? I was trying to get on, but I didn't get through. You didn't. What happened
on
Saturday?
Joyce, you guys are the fantastic four for real. Y'all keep me in check. Y'all stay on me, and that's why I know that I'm going to always do the right thing, because in the back of my mind, I know my fantastic four is out there waiting. I ended up, I was at the museum. I was away from my house, so when I'm away from my house, I'm at the mercy of the Wi-Fi at whatever place I'm at. And so the Wi-Fi at the museum on that particular day was weak. Most of the time I do my broadcasting from my home. And, of course, when I do the broadcast from my home, the Wi-Fi is the strongest, so I normally don't have any issues with Wi-Fi here. But at the museum, it can be a little temperamental. So, hey, both you and Kathy got on me today, boy. Y'all. All right. Well, Joyce, do you have a final word other than the one for keeping me in check?
Just being patient. We got to learn how to be more patient. And if we can come up with solutions that we can help each other, help family members and the people that's out there who's dealing in those situations, particularly in hot-tempered situations, that we can kind of teach them how to more control, you know, themselves and how to handle themselves, I think that would be key.
You know, we have to learn how to live like human beings. I mean, we have to stop making such drastic choices. I realize there's a segment of our society out there in the world that we need to be concerned about, people who just do all kind of senseless violence. But for those of us who go to work every day and those of us who have a life that we love and we enjoy, we really need to be mindful of what actions we take that will alter the way we live. And so as we talk on this show, I want to encourage my listeners to do the right thing. If you were in Mr. Smith's situation, please look for a safe place to stop. Hopefully find a police officer that can assist you, or maybe even call 911, let them know where you're going to be, because we can't keep losing valuable individuals, and we cannot keep supplying living space for people who are convicted for stuff that just don't make no sense. Anything to say about that last word, Kathy?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
Well,
I'm good.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say, Joyce?
No. Andre?
All right. Well, we're going to call it a day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. And this is James T. Deshay. Take care, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. We'll be right back.